Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our meditation this morning is the Eisenach Epistle selection appointed for this 12th Sunday after Trinity. As we find this recorded in Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, which I would read as follows. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, dearly beloved fellow hearers of his precious word. The incident reported to us by Luke in Acts chapter 16 took place on St. Paul's second great missionary journey. The journey which, at the call of the Holy Spirit, led Paul and his companions for the very first time onto the continent of Europe. We read in the verses just preceding our text that Paul had had a vision in the city of Troas in Asia Minor, a vision in which a man from Macedonia, just to the north of Greece, stood before him and begged him, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul and his co-workers recognized this immediate or direct call from the Lord and set sail without delay across the Aegean Sea for Philippi, one of the chief cities of Macedonia. Upon their arrival, they spent several days getting their bearings, as we would say, and looking over the situation before beginning their mission operations. What is particularly significant about this incident is the fact that Paul's first contact in Philippi and his very first effort at preaching the gospel there was so insignificant as far as numbers go that it might have gone completely unnoticed and certainly unreported by anyone but the Holy Ghost himself, who inspired this account and who introduces us to Lydia of Thyatira, an example to all Christians, but especially to Christian women. It's not merely that Lydia was Paul's first convert on the European continent, but her example lies, first of all, in the fact that she gladly listened to Paul's preaching and received the word for herself. Secondly, that she involved her whole household in Paul's instruction for their spiritual welfare. And thirdly, that she gratefully showed her newfound faith in the Lord Jesus by extending loving hospitality to his messengers, to his servants. The Apostle Paul, together with Silas, Luke, and young Timothy, had been in Philippi for just a few days when, Luke reports, on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, or customarily to be made. The team of missionaries began by seeking out the whereabouts of local Jews, professing believers in the coming Messiah, who knew the Old Testament prophecies of the Savior to come, but had not yet heard of Jesus of Nazareth, that Savior himself in person, and his perfect fulfillment of all of those prophecies by his holy life here in this world and by his innocent suffering and death as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Paul often went for a Jewish audience in that regard because he had the scriptures of the Old Testament to start with and from thence to show the people how the Lord Jesus himself, Jesus of Nazareth, despised of the Jews, put to death in the flesh, was indeed the Messiah in whom they trusted. But Jews were apparently few and far between in Philippi at that time. Too few to establish and support a regular synagogue in that city. But we find a small group of Jews and of proselytes, that is, Gentiles who were converts to the Jewish faith, assembled rather informally outside of town along a riverbank where they customarily gathered for prayer. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, Luke reports. Why no men were present at this Sabbath service is not explained. Perhaps they had been successfully intimidated by the Romans and their deportation policies in effect in their colonies, and had simply stayed home to play it safe. Perhaps there were no Jewish men in the area who even practiced their faith anymore. We don't know for sure. But this did not deter Paul and his co-workers one bit from sharing the precious gospel of salvation with the women who were there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of, which were spoken of Paul. Attended simply means to listen with avid concentration. Of all the women there who heard with their ears, Lydia apparently paid what we would call real attention to what Paul was saying. The Lord having opened her heart to the hearing of faith. For the Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Only the Lord can open the heart of a person so that he or she believes what he or she hears in the gospel. Without that operation of the Lord in the heart, natural man, the casual hearer, effectively slams the door in the face of the Holy Spirit of God in his effort to convert them. Natural man stubbornly, willfully, in unbelief, resists his efforts to convert. What all the other women did on that particular occasion, we are not told. Whether they too were converted to faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, then or later, we have no information in this text. But it wasn't that Lydia was particularly gullible or naive or simple-minded or easily swayed by an orator like the Apostle Paul, which is what the world would have us believe about people who actually believe that ridiculous, simple gospel of salvation by grace for Christ's sake through faith. For our text tells us that Lydia was an intelligent gal and perhaps even a shrewd businesswoman, for she was a seller of purple. She was a well-to-do, prosperous dealer in rare and expensive dyes extracted from certain shellfish. But neither was it her own personal intelligence, shrewdness, or curiosity that made her an attentive listener and a potential mission prospect, as synergists would have us believe. Nor yet was it a lifelong Jewish heritage that gave her an advantage over the others, for it is quite likely that she was a proselyte, a Gentile convert to the Jewish faith who worshiped God according to the Jewish religion, but had not been brought up with Moses and the prophets, as were the Jews even of Jesus' day. No, it was the Lord who opened Lydia's heart. She didn't do this of herself. He called her to faith in and through the gospel that she heard that day, and he is the one who worked in her both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The first of his good pleasure is that we believe on him whom he hath sent. Now you and I, too, are compelled to confess with Luther, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified, and kept me in the true faith. And it should be our constant prayer that as he did in Lydia's case, so the Holy Spirit would also do in ours. Namely, continue to make us attentive hearers of his word, so that our faith may be strengthened and our appreciation and love for the gospel deepened, so that we always gladly hear and learn it, believe it with our whole heart, opened by the Lord himself, and keep it by the ability that only he is able to give. There's also a timely sidelight to this first part of our text, which pertains especially to Christian women. As we well know from God's word, women in the Lord's church are to be in subjection to the men. They are not to teach the men. They are not to speak in such a manner as to usurp the teaching office and the decision-making authority which Christ reserved only for the men of his churches. nor are they to serve as incumbents of the holy ministry, the pastoral office. Yet, in spite of the many passages of scriptures which establish this principle, we hear many women today expressing dissatisfaction and even resentment at these limitations, demanding equality with the men, such as they enjoy today in society and in politics. Sadly, unlike Lydia in our text, they are unwilling to let the Lord be the head of his church. They're unwilling to let the Lord stipulate his own divine regulations regarding the administration of his church. Lydia, on the other hand, as intelligent and shrewd a businesswoman as she obviously was content to be a good listener, an attentive learner at Paul's feet, humbly subjecting herself to his instruction as to the Lord Jesus himself. And this resulted not in any spiritual deficit or defect in Lydia, which she could have overcome by her own speaking and teaching of the Apostle Paul, but on the contrary, she grew in grace and in the knowledge of her Lord and Savior as she kept hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Christian men, too, whether they be pastors or laymen, must first be attentive hearers and learners of God's Word before they become apt or able to teach in the church. The Lord Jesus, in that very short verse, which even our Sunday school children know by heart, sets this, the importance of hearing the Word of God, so clearly before us when he says, "Blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it." But now we see in our text a second way in which Lydia of Thyatira was an example or an exemplary Christian, and a role model, especially for other Christian women. She involved her whole household in the apostles' instruction from the Word of God. And she saw to it that they, her children, and no doubt quite a number of servants in those days, were baptized. Which implies, of course, that they had time for adequate instruction by the Apostle Paul in advance of that baptism. Our text says virtually nothing about Lydia's husband, suggesting that perhaps she was a widow, left to run her business as well as her household all by herself. Indeed, while it is chiefly the father's responsibility, according to God's word, to bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, much of the actual instruction of children is often left to the mother as his helper to carry out on a day-to-day basis. Unfortunately, many fathers leave the instruction of their children, the spiritual upbringing of their dear little children, up to the wives entirely, and thus shirk the responsibility that God himself lays upon them. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And yet, blessed are the children in such cases where their mother has been an attentive and diligent listener and learner of the Word of God. for they soon reap the benefits of their mother's faithfulness in what she is able to teach to them. And for single moms, as we call them today, such as Lydia herself might well have been, the responsibility lies ultimately upon them and them alone for the Christian education of their children. A responsibility which no Christian parent, be he a father or a mother, dare shirk lest he or she one day be called to account to the Lord for the loss of the precious souls entrusted to their care. Yea, rather happy are the fathers and mothers who, like Lydia of old, see to the diligent and faithful upbringing of their children. Not merely with wholesome food and drink, not merely with a standard of living which provides the little ones with everything that their little hearts may desire, not merely with social skills and advantages and the best of a secular education, but chiefly and most importantly in the nurture, the nourishment, and the admonition of the Lord. And so we sing with the hymn writer, "Blessed the parents who give heed unto their children's foremost need, and weary not of care or cost. May none to them and heaven be lost." Bless such a house. It prospers well. In peace and joy the parents dwell, and in their children's lot is shown how richly God and bless his own. We cannot leave our consideration of this fine exemplary Christian woman, however, without noticing one final way in which she serves as a role model to all of us. For having come to faith in Christ as her Savior, in he who is the fulfillment of all the prophecies of the Old Testament regarding God's chosen Messiah, who would take away the sins of the world. And having seen to it that her household, too, was baptized into his name, Lydia of Thyatira showed her humble gratitude for all of these priceless spiritual blessings that she had by means of the gospel, showed her faith itself by generously and cheerfully extending hospitality to Paul and to his co-workers. Use hospitality one toward another without grudging, the Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 9. For it is a fruit, a fitting outcome of the faith which gratefully clings to the blessings of the gospel, which we have received, to render hospitality one to another. Indeed, when a Christian pastor is the recipient of loving hospitality, of help, of cooperation and support, both to him and also to others who labor in the word and doctrine, that cooperation and hospitality is evident to others who see their light shining before men. It's evident of their appreciation of the gospel. The fact that God's messengers are welcome in their homes, are guests at their tables, are supported cheerfully by their generous gifts, shows their love for the precious means of grace, the precious gospel of salvation, and the sacraments which bring to men all of those wonderful blessings which the Lord has from eternity desired all men to have. These are intangible benefits, benefits which we could never purchase, benefits which we could never devise for ourselves. But the fruit of faith in God's mercy and grace, the fruit of that faith is to be tangible and visible and palpable so that men may see our good works and then glorify our Father which is in heaven, who is only our Father for Jesus' sake. Our Father in the precious gospel of his gift of Christ Jesus to be our Savior. Lydia says to Paul and Silas, and to Timothy and Luke, as well as perhaps to others who came along with them as support personnel, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. Their acceptance of her offered hospitality was to be a sign to her that they now regarded her a faithful and devout Christian, a beloved sister in the Lord. And Luke says, she constrained us. She practically forced them to receive her hospitality. So eager was she to show forth her newfound faith in Christ Jesus, her Savior, and her gratitude to Paul and to his co-workers for bringing that to her in the preaching of the gospel. Sad to say, many a Christian pastor has at some time or another experienced what it is like to be treated as a proverbial doormat by people to whom he has faithfully preached and taught the precious gospel of salvation. And he is fortunate indeed if such instances are rare. But what is so heartrending about it is not the personal disappointment or sadness that it creates for the pastor, who has to give account for such people not with joy but with grief, unprofitable for them, but it's the knowledge that such abuse is a sure symptom of blatant despisal of the means of grace and lack of appreciation for the spiritual blessings that they bring. It's the very same grief expressed by the Lord Jesus, who wept over the city of Jerusalem and said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. On the other hand, how blessed are the pastors who are constrained, practically forced by Christian Lydias in their flocks, to recognize their faithfulness to the Lord, to recognize their appreciation for his word in its truth and purity, and their gratitude to the Lord for his many blessings to them through the preaching and teaching of his word. After all, it is really the Savior himself to whom such deeds of love are done, who says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Indeed, happy is the pastor who can say, as Paul also wrote to the Philippian congregation, of which Lydia was an exemplary founding member, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time I think about you, every time I remember what we have been through together. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day there on the riverbank until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet, that is fitting for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. God grant that here in our own congregation and in the congregations of our precious fellowship, such continued appreciation for the precious means of grace is always manifested. That we always gladly hear and learn and meditate upon the Savior's word when it is preached and taught to us by his messenger. That we impart it faithfully and by diligent teaching consistently to our children. And that we demonstrate our gratitude for God's blessings in the gospel by our cheerful support of the Lord's ministry in our midst, with our words of encouragement, with our prayers, with our gifts, with our hospitality, and with our one-mindedness with its incumbent, so that both the pastors and their people together can rejoice in their God-given unity, preserved among them only by the Lord of the church through his precious word for Jesus' sake. Now unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus, in his precious gospel, unto life everlasting. Amen.